today we have something new for Top Comment, which is we have a guest.
We do.
Taylor Lorenz. She's one of the top social media journalists and tech journalists. She's a curator of memes. She's an incredibly big deal in the world of tech and social media.
She used to work at New York Times, Washington Post, didn't she?
Yep. And she's increasingly becoming one of the most vocal critics of legislation that aims to regulate social media. And we spoke about all these things and about some of her more...
I don't know if controversial is the right view, but perhaps less mainstream views.
Less mainstream
views. About how to deal with the social media companies.
Yeah.
Okay, hello.
Would you like to introduce yourself?
Yes, I'm Taylor Lorenz.
And Matt, you know Taylor.
We spoke about meme coins. You interviewed me about meme coins. Remember I was turned into a meme coin?
Yes, I remember this. Yes.
Have you been turned into a meme coin, Taylor?
Not yet, not as far as I know.
I haven't either. I feel like I'm missing out.
Yeah.
As well as being arguably the leading social media journalist, I think that's a fair accolade. you also are, I think, one of the best curators of memes in the world through your Taylor Lorenz 3.0 page.
Oh my God. Yes, I have a meme page. It's called Taylor Lorenz 3.0. It's 3.0 because it is my third meme page. The other two were violated community guidelines, unfortunately. Not for anything problematic. I think I just was reposting other videos and they were taken down. So this is my last final act.
What is your favorite meme?
Of all time, yeah.
Oh, God. Of all time? I don't think they're memes. I just think of, like, funny vines, like Shower Time Diesel Jeans.
Yeah.
You know, like, I don't know.
I don't remember. What's Shower Time Diesel Jeans?
Oh, it's this guy who's, like, getting dressed and he puts the camera in the mirror and he goes, Shower Time, Adderall, glass of whiskey, Diesel Jeans.
Shower Time, Adderall, a glass of whiskey, and Diesel Jeans.
I just think of it every time I get in the shower. Every time I get in the shower.
It's the ones that make it to your life, I think, are like the memes that win. Like on one of our episodes recently, we were doing, apparently,
I've never been on live television before.
Yeah.
Every time someone says apparently, I can't not do it.
It's like a tick.
Yeah.
More recent memes. I love like bus, another bus, club. Bus.
Yeah.
I use that all the time.
No sleep. Bus. Club. Another club. Another club. Plane, next place, no sleep, no fear, nobody believed in me.
So would you say that's your favorite video on the internet of all time?
Oh my God, my favorite video on the internet, I don't even think I could begin to narrow that down because there's so many TikToks, there's so much, like, and then everything I see that's good. It's not my favorite, but one video that, like, lives in my head constantly because I think it's such a, like, it's like a parody of like modern times is, did you guys remember after Charlie Kirk was shot, there was that guy Elder Talk. Do you remember?
Oh yeah.
There was this guy who was like a local aspiring influencer. Charlie Kirk is shot. His first instinct is to turn the camera on himself and start filming his reaction.
Right.
And he's like, hey, it's your boy Elder Talk. And there's like people like running for their lives.
Yeah.
And like, I think it just felt like the most American video I've ever seen because it's like, you know, shooting on a college campus, very American culture. This man, like his initial reaction is to like put himself in the camera and everyone's like, what? Like this was one of the first videos. People were trying to figure out what was going on and he's like, yeah.
Charlie Kirk, Elder TikTok, warm in central Utah. There was a gun that just fired off here at Charlie Kirk. I am not playing with y'all. Hey, make sure you go to church on Sunday. Read the Book of Mormon. This is not a drill. I'm not playing with y'all. Hey, Jesus is Lord. Jesus will protect you. Jesus is your savior, bro. I'm not even lying. Make sure you subscribe to Elder TikTok on Instagram.
It's like at the White House Correspondents Dinner assassination attempt when there were a bunch of influencers who were like taking selfies. Being
they were like, oh,
active shooter.
Yeah.
And you're like, whoa, what is going on here? That's the thing though. It's kind of hard to choose a favorite video or meme because it's so like ever evolving, isn't it? Like, I feel like every week I have a bit
of a fad.
What
about this week? Favorite this week?
Well, okay.
Recent.
You know what I like? This is not new at all either, but like, you know, when it's like the end of something or somebody terrible is, you know, fired for their job or something, like people do the crab rave. Do you guys have
that? I haven't seen that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, from SpongeBob.
Yeah.
Th- that song comes from before SpongeBob, but it was featured in SpongeBob during a Krusty Krab rave event.
Oh, okay.
Krusty Krab. Do you like SpongeBob as much as me? Do you know about all my SpongeBob references?
No. We've never talked about SpongeBob. No.
I have a kind of weird, it's one of my, like, my mastermind topic would be, like, SpongeBob circa, like, 2005, 2004.
SpongeBob is such a, like, iconic internet character. Like, I feel like he just belongs to the internet now.
Yeah. And it's funny because he was, like, a pre-internet
character.
Yeah. He's timeless.
We were chatting on our recent episode about all the AI fruit videos, which we're banned from talking about. Have you seen the human beings being the AI fruit?
Yes. I think those are so funny.
They're so good.
Which I think the AI fruit videos actually have this, like, weird misogynist and manospheric undertone, right? Because it's always about, like, the woman leaving the, like, good guy in beta male for the kind of alpha banana or what have you. And the implication is, like, women will always, like, make the wrong choice and go for the bad guy, and that's why we have to become incels, basically.
Yeah, there is a lot of weird messaging. Kyle Chayka, who's one of the best social media journalists, I love him, but he compared it to, like, Greek tragedies and saying, like, there are all these sort of, like, basic, like, very basic sort of human stories.
And you find yourself watching them, you get to the end, and I'm like, why did I just watch that whole thing?
But essentially, there's something timeless about the theme of infidelity. It's like it works on humans and always has. That's why AI fruit has picked that.
I'm sure if you said to the AI fruit creators, you actually remind us of, like, some
timeless
incredibly
Greek tragedy.
Yeah, some incredibly, like, well-respected, like, Greek playwright. They would be very happy.
Speaking of Greek tragedies, what do you think is going to happen to Clavicular 5 years from now?
Oh my God. First of all, I hope that he's alive, like, because I'm, like, the amount of peptides and things that he's doing, I'm, like, I feel like this is, like, weird chemicals in his body. Mm. You know, he's so of the moment that I just don't know if he's going to last. Mm. Like,
I think he's a bit of a flash in the pan.
Like, he's a little, like, I think he's going to be very synonymous. Like, influencers that become too synonymous, like, with one time period, it's hard for them to, like,
they're too dimensional.
Grow. Yeah, I don't know.
But he has it a longer shelf life than you might expect, right?
Yes. And I think also, like, he could pivot into just, like longevity type stuff. Like, I could see him just going the Brian Johnson way and being, like, also getting a little older and being, like, I thought it was all about looks. It's actually all about health or something. And then he's selling his supplement brand.
Yeah, because we spoke about Clavicular on our first ever episode. We basically were, like, every week we need to almost have, like, a Clavicular update because he's been doing so much. And I thought by this point he would actually have kind of disappeared. But he somehow has endured.
I read that you don't really use TikTok, but you do use X and Instagram mainly.
Wait,
is that true?
That's such a lie.
Really?
Love TikTok.
Yeah, okay. I'm
on TikTok
way too much
all day long.
Okay, I don't know where.
Also, Taylor's got to be ahead of the memes. You cannot be in the Reels pipeline. You cannot be, like, 2 weeks behind everyone.
Reels has come around. It used to be so bad.
Yeah.
But yeah, it is still behind. Wait, I'm such a TikTok head, though.
Okay, so TikTok is your main...
I think, like, on TikTok, I'm more of a consumer. I used to post so much, and then now I definitely... I'm focused on, like, long form, so I don't post as much, but I literally, like, consume it all the time.
Right, right, right.
I think if I was to be asked, like, my favorite social platform, it would be, unfortunately, X, and then TikTok.
I think with
X... And then Instagram is somewhere, like, down there.
People often ask me about X because, like you, I've spent quite a lot of time investigating, like, the harmful stuff that's being recommended, etc. But I find that because I know how it works now, my X algorithm, I've managed to make, like, really, really good. Like, I feel like all of my memes are, like, perfectly curated. Like, all of the posts I get are perfectly curated. And then I occasionally ruin it when I'm looking into something. And then I have to, like, reset it.
Yeah.
I agree. Do you like X? I do, for my sins, like X, because it's this, like, rapid fire information that I need with my ADHD. But, like, I feel guilty about that, you know? Because it is a kind of toxic place.
It is toxic. But here's the thing. It is, like, objectively toxic. There's bad
basically, like, all the guardrails have gone. Blah, 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 kind of, like, all the stuff that we know. They sacked everyone, etc.
Yeah. But I think there's something about the real-time aspect of it that I really like.
Mm.
Because, like, when something is happening, something big is happening, there is no better place to be.
Well, it's because it's still fundamentally text, right? So it's just, like...
But with, like, for example, the Charlie Kirk shooting, right?
Yeah.
Of course, I was, like, I need to know... every new detail that's come out, but so much of it was bullshit, yeah. Right? Like it was like everyone was trying to claim the shooter for either the left or the right, and they were like talking about the casings on the bullets, and like before we knew anything about the investigation, it had already been decided that either he was like a pro-trans person or a groiper, yeah. Right? And so I kind of at that point I was like, am I enjoying this, or would it be nicer to live in a time where you just kind of forgot about it for a week, and then a week later, like an expert who actually knew what they were talking about told you this is what happened?
Yeah. Probably we'd be better with the latter. And yeah, you do have to sort of accept that like a lot of what you're going to see is misinformation. Mm-hmm. But I like it more for like the commentary. Mm. Like they're really, especially as I cover tech, and there's just so many like smart people on there that like really do debunk things or like add things. Like there's a lot of journalists. And I think that's what's missing from like Threads and Blue Sky and stuff is like Blue Sky is kind of its own culture, and Threads, there's just not a lot of like smart discussion. Mm. Yeah, there's like academics on X.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that days like we spoke about the whole JP Morgan fish head kind of saga on one of our episodes recently. And like that was like a kind of elite day of memes,
yes.
However you define elite, whether you loved it or hated it, in terms of like just the ability of everyone to kind of like bounce off each other. I actually just don't post on X anymore because I get such bad online abuse.
Oh my God.
That I prefer, I know you have had loads of online abuse. I kind of prefer.
Who do you think has had more abuse?
Definitely Taylor.
I don't know. X is crazy, but I
don't. Sorry, weird
I don't even
for me.
See
online abuse.
Wait,
off.
But I.
You've also had loads.
not as bad, not the same. Kind.
None of us have been turned into a meme coin, so they're not
true.
Trading. They're not like actively trading us.
Yeah, that is very true. But do you not find, because I just find that when I post stuff now, it's not reaching the right audience, whereas when I post on like Instagram or TikTok, it gets to the people that like
TikTok,
like my podcast or whatever. Yeah, exactly.
I think on X, there's a lot of like fighting. There's a lot of like, I've blocked so many like hundreds of thousands of people, so I feel like it's fine. I also have notifications only for mutuals. So I like, if other people are yelling about me,
you just don't know.
I don't even know that it's happening. And I limit my replies.
You were removed. You were suspended from X.
Elon banned me personally,
right?
Yeah.
Can you tell us about that story?
How yes. That and actually, the way that I was able to get back on was some like European law. It was like,
oh,
yeah.
We should talk about that later.
Shout out to Europe. so he was banning. He took over X. He was banning all these journalists who had done critical reporting on him. Trying to ostensibly.
Sorry, was the critical reporting, according to him, that they were doxing his private jet?
Right. Yes, that was his sort of thing. Now, I have never covered the private jet. Mm. Never covered the private jet. I used to have my tweets auto-delete. So at the time, the only posts that I had that were live on my X profile were actually promoting my Substack and promoting my Instagram and my YouTube. So Elon Musk banned me, and he banned me because he made this rule. Where, remember, he was like, it would lasted for like 48 hours. It was like, you can't promote other platforms.
Yeah, you can't like say, go to my Instagram or whatever.
That's what he banned me under. And so that's what I got banned for.
But that's interesting because didn't he say he banned you for prior doxing?
Right. So when I get the alert on my Twitter feed, it says you violated this rule of promoting other platforms. You need to delete these 5 tweets of you promoting Substack, Instagram, whatever, to get back on the platform. I delete the 5 tweets. I'm still not back on the platform.
Also, this was at that time when they had laid everyone off. So
yeah.
It just felt like if you were requesting, like, can I come back on now? It was just like going into an
abyss.
Well,
I think he also just personally didn't like. So that same week, Drew Harwell and I, who also got banned, published a story basically outing Elon Musk as a liar about this other interaction. So obviously he just got pissed about that because it was immediately after we published it and banned us. You know, whatever. So that got taken away. I got back on. And then Elon Musk was like, yeah, prior doxing. But then when he was asked about that, like, well, who did she dox? What did she dox? He never.
Right. So I assume that was because you're also known for, quote, doxing the founder of Libs of TikTok.
Which is hilarious.
Could you tell us who that is and what the whole story is?
So first of all, Chaya Rychek is the founder of Libs of TikTok. She is a well-known political influencer. She was a January 6th rioter who turned sort of like anti-LGBTQ influencer. Now, I was doing a story on her because her identity got leaked online. This guy, Travis Brown, identified her and people were tweeting like, oh, you know, this is who this woman is. I thought it was really important to report on her identity because she was directly informing laws in Florida. And DeSantis's press secretary, who's the governor of Florida, was like, yeah, laws are being shaped by Libs of TikTok. And I was like, well, we should know who this woman is. So
also, isn't that, I mean, we talk about these sorts of things when we do any investigation, but when it comes to like revealing someone's identity, ultimately, if they're having a huge amount of influence, a huge reach, you know, it's different if it's like one random person behind a fairly small account, or you've got Absolutely. To make sure they're going to be all right. Like, it's a kind of different kettle of fish, isn't
also,
it?
Yeah, she had also been doing interviews on Fox News, doing interviews with the New York Post, but just, like, with this, like, privacy screen.
And what was her reason for wanting anonymity then?
She just didn't want scrutiny. And she had also started to accept millions of dollars in donations. So her identity was already posted online. I went to confirm it. She lived in L.A. She actually lived pretty near me. So I said to my editor, I'll just go over to her house. Because I tried to call her for comment. She kept hanging up on me. I was like, I'm pretty sure this is her. But we actually initially wrote the story in a way that it was like people online are claiming it's her. But we don't, you know, we can't say for sure. So I show up at her house and I knock on her door. I see through the window, there's this bookshelf with all these right-wing books. And she doesn't answer, whatever. And then she tweets out a picture of me at her doorstep. And by the way, the picture of me at her doorstep shows the exact street she lives on and the exact house she lives in. Mm-hmm. And she said, Taylor Lorenz showed up on my doorstep. Like, this is unacceptable. Which is what confirmed her identity. So,
right.
I'm sorry. She doxed herself. Like, she, and not only did she dox herself, our article just said she lived in Los Angeles, which was something that was already public. She tweeted this picture of me on her doorstep where you can see exactly where she lives. And she's never, I don't think she's ever taken it down.
So people assumed that maybe this alleged doxing was one of the reasons that Elon Musk suspended you. Why do you think he suspended you? And how much personal control do you think he actually has over X and the algorithm?
I mean, I don't think he suspended me over that at all, because that had already happened and I had been on Twitter already previous to that. Like, he didn't suspend me like the first day he took over Twitter. It was like I had been on Twitter a minute. It was when all this jet stuff started to happen and he started to suspend other journalists. And I published a story with Drew that was really critical of him. Mm-hmm. And that's when he suspended me. So obviously it was in response to that. And I think he was using, because I didn't tweet about the jet, which he was saying was doxing, which could have also been what he meant by prior doxing. He could have meant the jet. I don't know. But I never wrote about the jet. Mm-hmm. So that's why I got suspended under this other weird rule. 100% Elon has total control over the algorithm. And he personally, we know, I mean, Ryan Mack has done amazing reporting on this at the New York Times. Like, we know that he asks for his own content to be amplified.
Mm. Yeah, and loads of the I recently did this doc where I was speaking to loads of insiders from within all the major companies, and the ones from X particularly kind of all corroborate that the algorithm was sort of made in the image that Musk wanted it to be. And then obviously they've recently open sourced that algorithm, so you can actually kind of like see the way that it particularly promotes stuff that's like rage baity, etc. But I mean, I think it came as no surprise to all of us because his tweets were just always at the top of everything. Like you literally open the app and you'd be like, whoa.
Especially Elon, if you don't Elon, follow Elon. Him.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I made an account for my newsletter that I just set up like as a fresh account. And like the amount of, you just get bombarded with Elon Musk posts.
So I understand that you use lots of burner accounts, which I found very interesting, right? Because we don't have control over what the algorithm feeds us, right? So is your use of multiple burner accounts kind of a way to like personalize your own algorithms?
Yeah, I always try to get out of my personal algorithm. So I just set up basically like lurker accounts to follow different communities that I'm reporting on. And then, and of course, if I ever reach out to someone to those communities, actually interact, like I would identify myself as a journalist. I'd be like, it's Taylor Lorenz. You know what I mean? I'm not like in someone's space, like lurking without like identifying myself, but it's more just like making different feeds, especially I've done this on Twitter a lot to be like, I'm really following this. What is it going to serve me? And like, how can I get into this community online algorithmically?
Yeah, I genuinely think it's such an important investigative tool now to be able to like set up these accounts. I run these kind of similar, particularly around like elections and politics, like undercover voters. So this idea that you're setting up multiple accounts that are informed by data. So I use data from like the Pew Research Center or NatCen here in the UK. And then I set them up and, you know, came up with like different interests or topics that they might like based on who they are. And those ones, like I don't message anyone or interact with anyone, but I can just test the algorithm, like what I'm pushed. And you can just see like entire events unfold in a completely different way. Like when Charlie Kirk was shot, I was looking at my like very sort of pro Trump account versus the very anti Trump account, and it was like completely different narratives. And the kind of ethics of like how you do it. Have I told you about this when Don Jr. tweeted? So I revealed that I had these undercover voters, and obviously we run them, like we make sure that we adhere to like our editorial guidelines around how we don't deceive people and the public interest has to trump the deception, all that kind of thing. And I did an interview about it, and then Don Jr. tweeted this article about my undercover voters, which like the picture was me, and it was like fake news media. That's the BBC. And loads of my friends are messaging me like, why are you on Donald Trump Jr.'s Twitter?
Well, it's something that I think the right, the far right has really understood internet manipulation. And I think like they just fundamentally don't like scrutiny over it. But especially with Elon Musk, like we have so much visibility into how he's warped the algorithm. Even just comparing the way that X feeds people content today versus 5 years ago, you know.